right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast number 380. I'm your host, JPD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we are joined by a man who is on the show this week, Wombat.
That is a fact.
Yeah, you are here.
Well, I'm not there, I'm here.
Why were you not here last week?
I was on vacation.
Hi, Shipwreck. He's back also.
I'm glad we got to hear about Wombat's vacation.
Yeah, just in time. I went to Newport, Rhode Island. Have you ever been to Newport, GB?
Never heard of Rhode Island. What is that? Some sort of amusement park?
Rhode Island is a state in the United States.
Oh, yes.
I believe it is one of the original 13.
What's bigger, Kings Island or Rhode Island?
That's probably a toss-up. Rhode Island is a very small state.
What about Treasure Island?
Treasure Island is a fictional. Robert Louis Stevenson made it up.
I'm out of Island.
Who made up Rhode Island?
The Rhodes.
How is Newport,
Rhode Island?
The
scholars.
The Rhodes scholars made everyone. I thought that was common knowledge. Newport, Rhode Island is a lot of fun, and I highly recommend it for a weekend trip. For 4 days, maybe, no more than that, though.
From Tokyo, Japan to Newport. That sounds like a great
it's not.
Trip. I think they have direct flights.
Yeah, sure. It's not the kind of place you probably would want to fly to.
Right. That's a road
trip. But if you're driving distance and you want to do something, it was just my wife and I. It was our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Ooh, mazel tov.
Thank you.
Congratulations. That's how we say it.
That was funny.
Yes.
We stayed in a nice little bed and breakfast. We had our own little private room in the turret of this old mansion.
Oh, you didn't share a room with another
Well, we had couple. Our own entrance.
Ooh.
We had a private entrance and we had a private parking spot away from the parking lot.
Oh, so you could do it in the car.
Yeah, which we did a few times.
Of course.
And it was a room with a downstairs and an upstairs. It wasn't huge, even though it had two floors. It was relatively small, but it had a little fireplace, and it was, it was a nice room, and the breakfasts were good. Blueberry pancakes, cinnamon apple waffles one morning.
Too many carbs.
Lots of carbs. I had a lot of carbs. A lot of carbs, a lot of fish.
Right.
That's what Newport is known for. Lots of fish.
Lobster? They have good lobster there?
They do have good lobster. They're known, maybe the best lobster roll I've ever had in my life.
Shit. Damn.
Sitting by the shore at this other inn, this Castle Hill Inn, which is right by where the Kennedys got married, had their wedding party at the cliff next door is where they had their wedding party.
Era, so this is the best lobster roll I ever had.
Seriously, it was amazing. They bake the rolls at the inn.
You
so
would
it's
not believe
roll.
How they bake these rolls.
No mayonnaise in the lobster. It was insane.
No mayonnaise is key.
Yeah, it was ridiculously good. And it came with this this red cabbage coleslaw. It was really, really good. And I had a glass of white wine with it in the middle of the day.
Nice.
Nothing like middle of the day vacation booze.
Right.
Sitting by the water, watching sailboats go by, eating lobster, drinking wine, and enjoying life. It was pretty perfect. I'm sorry. I'll just
I'm
say
glad
it.
You
it
had a great trip.
Deep. Yeah.
Shouldn't apologize.
I don't. But I really do. I recommend it. If you're ever if you're within 3 hours of Newport, Rhode Island, and you've never been, totally worth the trip.
Is that how long it takes to get there from New York?
Yeah, it took us about 3 hours. Huh. We stopped on the way home at the Pez factory.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, now you've
got interest. I knew that would interest Shipwreck. I went to the Pez factory.
Reel me back in here. Yes.
They make the Pez. The factory, we went on a Sunday, so the actual factory part was closed, but you could see it. So I could see where they make the Pez, even though they weren't making Pez on a Sunday.
Now, do they make the Pez candy and the Pez dispensers at the same factory?
I believe it's just the Pez candy. And the dispensers are made someplace else.
So you went where they made the crappy part of Pez.
Well,
sugar.
They have...
Sugar. They made where they put sugar into cubes, basically.
Yeah, where they make the sugar into cubes.
Color.
But the Pez dispensers, they have one of every Pez dispenser ever made.
Okay.
So, and they have it in all these glass cases, and you walk around, and it's all set up where you could watch Pez through the years.
That's cool.
And they give you this card when you walk in, Pez bingo card. And you have to find as many years as you can and write the year of that Pez dispenser that's pictured on the card. And if you get five in a row, they give you a free Pez dispenser. Nice. So I got a free Pez dispenser.
What'd you get?
And if you, I got a, I believe it's a squirrel. I think from The Nut Job. Remember that movie?
Oh, who could forget that classic?
Exactly. Right. That's why they give it away. It's like, well, no one bought these. Have one.
But we're gonna make you work for it anyway.
Do they show you where they set all the Pez once they're done making it to make sure that it sits long enough that it's stale once it gets to consumers?
No, but we bought a bucket. You could buy a little metal bucket and fill it with as much Pez as you could get in there for $5.
Wow. Does it come with an insulin shot?
It's crazy. We have a bucket of Pez sitting on our dining room table. Some people put flowers in the middle of their dining room table. I have a bucket of Pez.
That sounds like a good lifestyle.
Are they fresh at the fact? Like, I just can't imagine ever having fresh Pez.
You know, it's hard. You know, I will say the bucket Pez is a little bit softer than the Pez I got in rolls. And they have rolls of Pez. They have like a larger bucket of rolls of Pez right next to the cash register. And as I was paying for we got like the kids a couple of dispensers and we got the bucket of Pez. And as we're paying, some guy just walks up, puts his hand in the bucket of rolls of Pez and puts it in his pocket. And I said to the guy behind the counter, what just happened here? And the guy goes, oh, those are free samples. Take as much as you want. I'm like, this is like Pez Nirvana.
Right.
It's crazy. It's like it costs $5 to get in, but once you get your free Pez dispenser and your admission gets you $2 off any item in the Pez store, you know, by then it's like, well, it's kind of a wash, and we wound up spending money in the gift store anyway. So
I probably have about 60 or 70 Pez dispensers, I think.
You should see, now you want to take a trip to Connecticut and check out the Pez Museum. I mean, you could do the whole thing in about 45 minutes, but so what? That's worth a flight.
I think I just live vicariously through you on that one.
There you go.
I want to find out how long it takes you to eat that bucket of Pez.
You know what? We still have Halloween candy from last year. I have a feeling the bucket of Pez. We're so proud of you, son. You and your future bride are going to make such a great couple. Have some Pez.
You should plant some flowers in the Pez.
Yeah.
And then see if people still eat it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes. Flowers in the Pez. It'll be nice for Thanksgiving. But yeah. No, I highly recommend
the Pez,
Newport.
Please.
Exactly. Pez and Newport.
Can you pass the mashed potatoes and the Pez, please? Thank you.
I'm going to make Pez mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that's good.
It'll be like sweet potatoes.
Where's the show feedback, Wombat?
I wasn't on the show.
You listened to it, though, right?
I did listen. Do you want my show feedback?
That's,
how about that?
That's what I want.
It was a good show. I enjoyed it. I listened to it.
What part did you enjoy the most?
I enjoyed that it didn't put me to sleep.
Okay. What was second most? Which topic did you find the most interesting?
I found it funny when you said you can't get a good watch for under $350. And the shipwreck didn't call you out on that one?
Someone in the comments did. They called me. They said it was like the douchiest thing I ever said. First of all, you're talking to somebody who doesn't wear a watch, okay? You know what I
but
meant by
that. But owns a $350
right?
watch.
What's that?
But that it owns a $350 watch.
Yes, I do. I own a $350 watch. I own a watch that somebody gave to me that's worth substantially more than that. And a Pebble
smartwatch. I
couldn't
call them out because I have a $350 watch as well.
Yeah, my watch, my everyday,
you can get a good one for $350. But it doesn't do anything.
Watch,
it tells time.
My everyday watch costs $20. I do have a watch that costs more than $350, yes.
Right.
But I rarely wear it.
My point was that people clearly buy a watch for $350 that does nothing but tell the time. And if you could buy a watch that tells the time and is also a mini television set, then that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no interest in any of the new Apple stuff. And I have an iPhone. I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
I saw the review for the big one, the Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got to go plus. Just for the battery, you got to go plus.
I heard that too. So it does actually have a larger battery to compensate for the...
These devices are all basically mostly battery because they need such a big battery. So the bigger the device, the bigger the battery.
Is it waterproof?
No.
When are they going to make a waterproof iPhone?
7.
They
like to...
Because they make waterproof phones now.
Right.
Like, isn't that something that they should be able to do?
What do you need a waterproof phone for?
So I don't have to worry about water damage.
Do you worry about water damage to your phone? Ever?
No.
Never. Even when it's raining, water damage to my phone?
Shipwreck, have you ever had to put your phone in a bag of rice to get the moisture out of it?
No.
I thought you did.
That was a Fitbit that went through the washing machine.
Oh, it was a Fitbit. Similar situation, though. At least you wouldn't have to do that with your phone.
If my phone was the size of my Fitbit, maybe yes.
They're pretty substantial. They can take a few drops of water.
Wow.
So, but the big one, you know, I'm a big guy, so I figure I can handle the big phone.
With your big pockets, yes. I heard the conversation.
Yes, right. But the reviews came out, and basically...
With your clown pants. Like, they're not clown pants. Because that's what you have to wear with those, clown pants.
You don't, actually. I saw the Verge review, and the guy, you watch the guy put the phone in his normal pants, non-clown pants, and they looked normal.
Not be able to sit down.
He was exactly. Fine. He seemed fine.
Didn't you break a phone that way, Shipwreck? Was that you who broke a phone sitting down?
I did break a phone sitting down, yes.
Yes, okay. Well, at least I got one out of two right. You did have to put something in a bag of rice, mm-hmm. And you did break a phone by sitting down.
Yes.
On the phone, or it was in your back pocket?
No, it was in my... I had a pair of basketball shorts on, and so there were slick material pockets. And so
it went to
I sat
back.
Down to put my shoes on, and it slid out and fell down a foot and broke.
Oh, it fell, yeah. But you did. Oh, okay. Just fell out of your pocket.
Yeah, it just fell.
It fell out of his pocket. 1 foot. How about that? How about a phone that doesn't break if it drops a foot?
It's totally dependent on the surface that it falls onto. But actually not, because I dropped it.
It all
on,
depends
like,
on where on yeah, the phone it lands.
Exactly. Because I dropped it on some soft flooring, wooden flooring, and it not even that far, and it fucking shattered.
Yeah, it just seems like there's got to be a way to protect that without having to buy a $50 case. Because then you're just, well, what's the point of having this slick, new-looking phone if you're just going to cover it up in armor?
So right. You can customize it. You make it your own, Wombat. You can put that little thong, Spider-Man thong thing on your phone.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's not even on my phone anymore.
Oh, no shit.
But that's another thing also that I think you can relate to, Cheapy. How about something on the back so it doesn't slide?
Wait, how long did you wear that? Thong,
oh, only during E3 just to drive you nuts.
That's great.
I had a case on the day before I left. I put my case back on the day when it came home.
No, my phone doesn't slide at all. They said on the Verge.
What about when it slid out of your locker and fell on the floor?
I hit it. I moved it.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I mean, what? I don't need like a rubber stopper on there.
Not necessarily a rubber stopper, but maybe just like a little bit of something on the back. So it's not slick.
Velcro, I think, would be perfect.
Hey, you know, I'm looking for ways to improve the product.
Right.
That, you know, it's more than just software that needs improving.
Get this man on the phone,
on
Apple.
Phones.
Right. Steve Jobs just arose from the dead when he heard that you were mm-hmm. consulting on Apple products.
Exactly.
Let's do a quick watch this, bitches. I meant to talk about this last week, but I skipped right by it on the outline. Have either of you guys ever seen a Filipino movie before?
No.
I bet you haven't. I have a very good one to pop your cherry. I hadn't seen one before either.
Okay.
It's like a thriller. It's like a crime thriller movie. And it takes place in Manila. It's called Metro Manila. And it's basically a family that's really poor. And they have to go to extremes to survive, to keep their family alive. And he becomes a security guard. And apparently that's a really tough job in Manila because there's so much crime there. They're constantly getting, you know, robbed and killed and shit. So it's a great movie. A lot of really good style. It's called Metro Manila. It's on iTunes. We rented it last weekend. And very good. You guys see anything good recently?
No, I have Captain America 2 sitting. I'm staring at it, but I haven't watched it.
I got that too. I have not seen that at all yet. I got the Steelbook that makes it even better, right?
No, I got the standard edition with the, but it is 3D. I have 3D and Blu-ray, and I have it actually. I downloaded the Amazon version as opposed to the iTunes version. So I have it now on my Xbox One, and I have it on the Amazon Fire in my bedroom.
Nice.
Set and ready to go. That's why I did that. I'm like, oh, wait, if I do this, it'll be on the Xbox. Because I, you know, the Amazon Prime app is there. Right. So for some reason, I want to watch it, not put a disc in the tray. I don't have to on both televisions in my house.
No HBO Go on Xbox One.
No HBO Go, but I do have Captain America 2. It does have Epix, though.
Why does it take
right?
so...
Is Epix on there yet?
Why does it... I forget. What, on Xbox?
Yeah. Epix, I know it was on the Xbox 360. I'm trying to think if it's on
There's
the
There's a
Xbox
lot of
One.
Stuff that's still not there, and it's really weird that it's not still. Why would no HBO Go?
It's all licensing stuff.
But why can't they work that shit out? Like, what...
I don't know.
It's
what
just,
do I look like? Captain License?
They were able to work it out once. What's the problem? Microsoft's busting balls too hard?
I'm when sure both of them felt they got a raw deal somehow the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
And look who suffers, Wombat.
Me?
No.
Actually, I have HBO, and I have HBO On Demand, so I really don't need...
You have HBO up the ass. You don't need any more.
Oh, yeah, I have enough HBO right now, to be perfectly honest.
I saw another good movie, a documentary called Fed Up, which is about the food industry in America. And I thought it was pretty interesting because it talks about how the food industry had their influence on the government and the laws that they make about, you know, what should be eaten and what shouldn't be eaten and things like that. Did you ever wonder why, you know how you look at the nutritional information on the back of food and it's got all the percentages of your, what do they call that? The USRDA or something like that? The
daily allowance.
Yeah.
So they have that for pretty much everything except when you get to sugar. And it just lists the grams of sugar, but there's no percentage. And this movie explains why that's the case. Basically, the food industry.
There's no limit to how much you should have.
Right, you should have all the sugar. Right.
Exactly. Well, according to the food industry, yes, exactly. So it's actually really well done. And Bill Clinton is in it, and some other people that you may recognize.
I ate an entire bag of Haribo gummy bears on the way home from work.
Right. It doesn't talk. I mean, gross. It talks about that. It's really more about.
It talks about that. That's.
I mean, it talks about how sugar is bad for you and the obvious.
And then
things
this gentleman in Ohio ate an entire bag of gummy bears in one sitting.
But actually,
I think there's like two too many Haribos in a bag. Like it's just those last.
Maybe
two,
you
have
maybe
to eat the
should,
last two. Like once you get to that point, you're not going to wrap up two gummy bears and save them for later.
Right.
No, you should just throw those away. Then you don't feel like a pig and say you ate a whole bag.
Then I feel wasteful.
Mm. You can give them to your wife.
I guess I could do that. Here's two gummy bears, son.
Here's two gummy bears. What happened to the rush? Don't ask. If you need me, I'll be in the bathroom.
Oh,
just rainbow
some gummy
splatter
bear
everywhere.
Cheapy.
Well, this is it, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
They don't really talk about gummy bears specifically, but they talk about it's about sugar mostly and business. It's interesting.
I love
they draw
business sugar.
Well, the business of sugar. It's basically about the business of sugar and processed
Texas tea sweetener
and processed foods.
White gold.
White bread.
Texas tea sweetener.
They follow around some families, some like big fat families, and try to like help them and stuff.
They got the best deals on gummy bears at Walgreens. Let's head there.
No.
That's not.
Let's not head there. Okay. Should we talk about Tokyo Game Show?
Should we?
You went.
Because it happened. It's happening right now, actually. It's the second day of Tokyo Game Show right now.
TGS.
Why aren't you there?
Well, the only reason to go on the second day is if you didn't go on the first day, because there's no reason to go back. I mean, it's very small again. Nick Lore wrote in on Twitter and asked if TGS is back, meaning is it back to its like even close to its former glory, and it's just getting worse. So, I mean, the one bright spot was that Microsoft came this year. So there was actually some, a lot more games than before, but.
What is their, like the presence of their booth look like at TGS this year?
It's big. It's had,
are there people in it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's games to be played. It's not like people are not lining up. I mean, people, let's see what the lines were like for, Call of Duty. They had, you know, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Is that it? Warfighter? I don't know. It was like 35 minutes, I think. But this is the business day. So these are the days where it's pretty empty in the show. I mean, you'll still have to, if you want to play a game like Bloodborne and you don't have an appointment, you're going to line up. It's an hour. And it, at times, I think they just capped the line at an hour because certain times I went back and they wouldn't give out the tickets to wait in line. But these are the business days. On the public days, it's jam-packed and there'll be a line for everything. Even the Microsoft booth, I'm sure, will be crowded on the public days. But yeah, the show is really depressing. You run out of games to look at pretty fast, so then you're just looking at the booth babes, and then you're like, oh, it's just a depressing scene. You feel bad for even, these girls are, there's like women in their underwear and bathing suits, and you're thinking, this is supposed to be like the business day, and there's not even enough games to look at, so now I'm just looking at the girls, and then I'm just feeling bad for looking at the girls, and I'm feeling bad for the girls because they...
And you've seen that movie, you were the one who told us about Girl Model to begin with.
Oh, but that's even different. They weren't even doing that stuff. They weren't even doing like, I don't even know what you call this, booth babe modeling, game show modeling.
You don't think it's modeling? The same type? You don't think it's the same girls that were lured with the same promises?
No, because those were Russian. These are all Japanese girls, Japanese women. Mm. That's much worse. That's like those were like slaves basically. But I don't know. Just the guys like with the five cameras around their necks taking pictures from the women like. To, you know, right in their personal space with the cameras, and I don't know, it's the whole thing is just too much, and there's just not enough games there to distract your attention from all that. For me, like, I walked around with my friend Peter, and you know, you're just like, you saw like that the picture I posted, right, of the game demo that was inside breasts, like you actually,
yeah, the mm-hmm. How do you say it? Onechabra or whatever,
yeah, Onechabra, yeah. There's like, I guess there's a DS inside. There was something inside, a controller in there. I don't even know. But you basically put your head inside
the nipple. It's like, it doesn't even make sense. It's so weird.
The whole thing is just so weird. And yeah.
Everyone knows that a head goes between.
That would have made more sense, but it's still, yeah. You understand what I'm saying, Wombat, right?
I do.
You understand my point. Like, I enjoy looking at scantily clad women as much as anybody. Like, but there's a time and a place for that. And certainly the business days at a major, what's supposed to be a major industry event. I don't know. It's just, it's too much. And there's less than there usually was, actually. There's a lot less women, but maybe you notice some of these outfits. I'm sure you can go, like Destructoid I saw had a gallery. You need to go over there just to look to see what's going on.
What was the line like to stick your head in the Onechabra?
I don't think there was much of a line for that.
Okay.
There was like, you know, I mean, remember, this is the business day, so it's really not indicative of what it's going to be like on the public days.
Did they have any, like, was there any way to play that game without doing that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was just to draw you into the booth.
Okay.
But,
yeah, just curious, just to, like, it at one point, like, that game is about that. Like, it's scantily clad females beating up zombies. Is that what you beat up in those games?
Wombat had the best line. What was that? An instant message yesterday or this morning for you guys?
Yeah.
What did you say
about TGS? TGS is what it would be like if Gamergate won. Is it what I said?
Yeah, something like that. It's just the trailer for that game, Ship, the Onechabra. Mm-hmm. At the end of the trailer, there's two women lying on the beach. One of the women is only wearing paint on her body. She has huge fake breasts and, you know, like probably green hair or some shit. And she's got green paint painted over her, like just not even like all over her whole body, just like a little bit covering up her, a little bit of her breasts. It's just like if you're a, I guess there's probably no women working in the Japanese game industry. So I don't know.
Well, I that's what that game's about.
I know. I get it. But it's just like,
It's not like, that's not the type of game that you point to and say, what are we doing with women in video games? Like,
right,
that game very much knows what it's doing with women in video games. It's
I guess I'm pointing it out more because there was so little else to see there that I found myself, oh, let me check out.
There you go. This was my quote to you. TGS is what happens when Gamergate people win.
Right. Yeah.
When they win. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good research there.
Thanks. Okay, I want to find it now.
So anyway, so that was that. But I still had, it's great. Even when the show is smaller, it actually makes it better for me because then I get to run into people that I know more and I get to see my Japan peeps and other people who I don't get to see that often. So that makes it better. Like the worse the show is, the better that part becomes.
And Nintendo's still not at this thing, right?
Nintendo still doesn't show up to this thing. It would be great if, please come, somebody come. Microsoft, please come back next year. I can't even imagine.
I thought they were there.
Nintendo?
No, Microsoft.
No, come back, I'm saying. Come back again. Come back again, please. Because I can't even... If Microsoft wasn't there this year, you're able to spend a lot of time playing games. Because the Microsoft booth is, for the most part, you just walk up and play stuff, and there's like a little bit of a line. You don't have to go get a ticket like you do with Sony. So it's a little more like freewheeling, so you're able to play more games there. So without them... Like, it's just the amount of games you can actually play would be just a lot lower and make the show a lot shittier. So I did get to play a lot of stuff. The first thing I did was I went over to the Sony booth because that would fill up a lot quicker, and I got a ticket for Drive Club. The Bloodborne already, as soon as I got there, the line was – they weren't even taking new tickets, so you had, the line was already an hour. And I didn't get to play Bloodborne. But I watched a little of it. Anyway, so I played Drive Club, and which is good timing because the Forza Horizon 2 demo just came out, and I saw you playing it earlier, Ship.
I did play it. It's quite good. I played the rally race, I guess.
Cross country, I think they call it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You get to pick one of three cars in the demo, basically. And I don't know if the race has changed depending on what car you pick.
You obviously took the Mitsubishi, right?
Yes. I think most people would, right?
No, you're supposed to take the Audi. But maybe not. It doesn't matter. But I was talking about Drive Club. Let's talk about Drive Club first, and then we'll talk about Forza Horizon. Okay. So they had I think this was a new demo because it seemed different than what I played at E3. They had three choices. You could take the AMG, the SLS AMG, or the Ferrari F12, and what was the other one? Aston Martin Vantage. So I took the one that was in the snow, which was the Mercedes. And I got to say, the graphics in Drive Club, that's got to be the best looking PS4 game or any next gen game. That it's just amazing. It looks better. It does look a lot better than Forza Horizon 2 or Forza 5. I don't know. It has like a lot of effects, and I must use a lot of anti-aliasing because it just looks so sharp.
It's really crisp.
Oh man!
Yeah,
you watched some video. They released.
No,
some
I
video.
Played it. I played it at E3.
Oh, okay. You just like when you play Forza, you see aliasing, you see the jaggies, everywhere. I mean, I find for Horizon 2, I noticed them in the environment, like on the trees and stuff. The car models look pretty good, but. The environment.
Yeah, the environments in Horizon 2, they look good, but it's
right.
It looks like, I don't know, just a step up from the 360. Like it doesn't just like blow you away.
Right. Drive Club blows you away in that way. But in Drive Club, I don't think you're going all over the world. Driving like all you can't just drive off the road into the forest like you can in Horizon. So that's a big difference. But back to Drive Club. I mean, yeah, it drives like an arcade. So a lot of people wrote in and asked, like, they wanted to know which is the arcade racing game, which is like the sim racing game. Drive Club is definitely arcade style racing.
It's similar to Need for Speed.
Yes, it does have that feel. Like there's drifting, power slide, but not. I think both games are pretty arcadey Forza Horizon 2, but Horizon 2, and I don't know about Drive Club, but Horizon 2 has a lot of settings for, you can pretty much control everything and make it a lot more sim if you like it. But, you know, Drive Club, I think my impression after playing Drive Club and Forza Horizon 2, the demo for quite a bit, is that Drive Club's going to look a lot better and this is going to be the showcase PS4 game for graphics at least. But I think Horizon 2 is going to be a better game, and I think Horizon 2 is probably going to be the best reviewed Xbox One game when it comes out, which it only needs like a 92, I think. I think I forgot what has 91, but were you impressed with Horizon 2, Ship?
Yeah, I mean it's a lot of fun. It reminded me of Burnout, and just the open world type stuff, and it took a lot of that from Burnout with like the speed traps and
the DJ
the music's really good too,
right?
At least the station I was listening to, it's a lot of the same stuff that I listen to on my way to work every day. So
nice. And the atmosphere is going to be really good in Forza Horizon. I think they really Playground Games really nailed this game. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to play the full game. And Drive Club too, like I'm really looking forward to that too, because it looks, I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Drive Club shapes up.
I want to know more about the, like, it might be out there. I don't know. I haven't followed up too much on Drive Club. But I want to know more about the structure of the game.
Yeah, right. I think Horizon is going to nail all that shit, and I just don't know about Drive Club. But they both feature awesome in-car views. Do you use the in-car view when you drive?
I was flipping around some. I think in Horizon, the out-of-car view, which I use on most arcade racers, it's too hard for me to pick up. Like, I'm trying to follow the green and red line and everything.
Right.
And it's too hard for me to see the line, and like just because of all the reflections and everything that are going on in the game from the out-of-car view. And then I tried the in-car view, and it just seems like, I don't know, like the way that his hands are going back and forth so much, just with just the littlest of movement with my thumb.
Right.
It upsets me a little bit.
Oh.
So I went with the hood view.
I see.
All right. Which is good. I like that.
Good engine noise. Mm-hmm. I like it. I turn up the volume all the way. I was playing this earlier, Horizon 2 demo earlier, and I put all the settings on simulation to make it as simulation as you could. And yeah, it feels like Forza. It's maybe not as much, but it's you know, there's some room to play with it. And it comes out next week, right? Horizon? I think we're in 2 weeks. By this month. This month. And Drive Club is October? Do we know when Drive Club is coming out?
I want to say it's October or the first week in November, but
October
7th. Okay.
October 7th. Okay.
So soon. Both soon.
Soon. Very cool. Very cool. It's great. Hey, this is, you know, next gen, I got to say, hasn't been too exciting, and it's been pretty actually disappointing, at least for me so far. But these are two highlights, I think, hopefully, that will deliver. So let's see. What else did I play at TGS? I watched my friend Peter play Psycho Break, which is the Evil Within. And I think Wombat played that at E3?
I did play that at E3.
Well, what did you think? You weren't too crazy about it? Or you...
You know, I like the idea of it a lot more than when I played the demo.
I played it at E3 too. I was not. It's a really hard game to play in a demo setting, though.
Yes, a lot of these games are like that.
Because it's all, you know, it's all atmosphere and location. So to play it for 15 minutes standing up, it's hard to judge.
Was your demo, do you remember the demo at all? If I told you what was in this demo?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember how it started off? Like the first thing that happened?
I remember being on a lawn of some sort.
Was there like the big dandelion floating and you were walking towards a dandelion?
I don't think so.
And then I don't know.
You basically come to like a mansion and there's gates.
Yeah.
Yes. Mansion. Yeah. That sounds.
And then you
right.
walk inside the mansion. And there's like weird shit going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It's probably the same demo.
Probably the same demo.
Could be. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems my friend Peter really likes these like Resident Evil type games. Excuse me. He wasn't too impressed. He got there was some like zombie lying on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stood up all of a sudden, and it seemed like it was missing animation frames or something, because it got up like really fast and just didn't look right. And then it one hit killed him. And then the demo was over and we left.
There's a lot of what I was when I played it, there was a lot of replaying of sections, but like the enemies would be, I want to say they were randomized a little bit or something. But the ones you killed would already be dead. I think that's how the game worked.
I don't know.
I remember hiding under a bed for a while.
That was, yeah, it's it. I like the idea of the haunted house game. That's.
But you can't tell if this is going to be good based on.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if it's going to be good or bad. I'm not usually a fan of games that require me to hide under a bed for more than like 8 seconds. That's kind of my hiding.
Right.
Oh, hide here and wait for him to walk past. Okay, this is fun. No, it's not. It's not. There's nothing fun about that. There's nothing fun about having to go into a closet or under a bed.
Stay as quiet as possible, kids.
Yeah, no.
Let's play the quiet game.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what you use to trick children into being quiet. It should never be a gameplay mechanic.
Yeah, it was weird too at TGS. This what is it called? Evil Within. They you know, some demos they let you play the game. Like they have a timer, right? So no one's hogging it. And like Drive Club, they let you play it. The guys were playing must be 15 minutes. And this one, like they only gave you 5 minutes. Or I think if you got killed during the demo, then your turn was over.
Wow.
Depending on which booth you played it at. So it's just weird how, I don't know. I need
like
5 minutes
of the game.
Japanese
version of this, the title of this game better, though. Psycho Break is a lot more interesting to me than The Evil Within.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. But
who
I like
cares?
It.
Better.
Like it's a vacation?
It's interesting.
Is it, you're taking a vacation from psychos? Or
maybe you're having a psychotic breakdown.
But psychotic breakdown would be a good name for a game.
That would be a good name for a game.
Better than
Psycho
Break.
Write that down. Psychotic breakdown.
Let's see. I also played Sunset Overdrive, which I know you guys played at.
What did you get to play? The single player or did you play multiplayer?
It was co-op.
Yeah, okay. That's what we did.
It's probably the same exact demo because this one wasn't even localized for Japan.
Yeah, it was probably the same thing. Lots of people fighting lots of zombies.
It was kind of hard to tell what was going on, and my screen was pretty dark, which made it even harder. I don't know. I'm not. The game looks like it has potential and it could be cool, but I have a really hard time believing that a lot of people are going to buy this game.
I feel like it's the Mountain Dew of video games.
Maybe. And they're doing it seems like they're marketing it, like they're doing a good job as the best that they could with what they got. You know, like with the, but yeah, Mountain Dew of video games could be Wombat. Doritos.
You like games? We got games for you. You're going to love it. It's got colors.
That's how they're marketing
it. And it's going to, hey, game, Mountain Dew.
That's literally the voice that the guy uses when he talks
about
the game.
I know it is.
So I
don't
know.
It drives me bananas.
But I don't know, could they do, what, is there an alternative that's going to help promote the game? Like for this type of game? It just seems.
That's what the game is. It's
explosions.
Yeah, It reminds me, like, I have a very Dreamcast feel to it. Like, it kind of feels like games of that era.
It does look a little Jet Set-y in a way. Like, the colors and the grinding.
Yeah, but it seems arcadey. Like, a lot of the Dreamcast games were just ports of arcade games.
I know what you mean.
It just has that feel.
There's a little bit of Crazy Taxi in there.
Yeah, no, it
with the
definitely
looks
is.
Of people. Uh-huh.
It feels like they combined every Dreamcast game. Like Power Stone is in there as well. And all those other 4-player weird
Super Bombad Racing.
Yeah, that's in there. Of course, Super Bombad Racing. Did that game come out for the Dreamcast?
It did, because I had it on the Dreamcast.
Is that the definitive version of that?
It is for me, because it's the only one I played.
Super Bombad.
That was the Star Wars super deformed character racing game.
You don't have to explain what that is. Everybody knows.
I had to explain it to Chibi. He didn't know.
I know what it is.
He knew. He just
the pod racing game. It's the
A different game.
That was Pod Racer.
Oh yeah, but what was that then? Oh, this was the cart racing, right?
Yeah, this is the cart racing.
Star Wars
pod racer
Star Wars cart racing.
Yeah, yeah, but they had little pods, right?
Yes, yeah. And Sebulba was in that too.
Yeah.
What's that guy up to now?
There'll probably be an iPhone version soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sunset Overdrive. I just feel like they have a real challenge getting people to spend $60 for a game like this. And that's not like to say that I don't think the game's going to be fun or good. It just, these days, it takes a lot to get people to part from their $60. And you see what's out there, like open world Forza Horizon 2 or Drive Club that looks like jaw-droppingly amazing next gen, like screams next gen. And then there's like Sunset Overdrive, which, you know, it looks cool, but like Shipwreck says, it looks arcadey. It looks like it maybe shouldn't be a full price game. Even though you were talking about an actual arcade.
But yeah, I'm not talking Xbox Live Arcade.
But the price is, you know, it goes along with that as well, I think. I also played a Master Chief Halo Collection 4.0, whatever.
What'd you think?
You know, it's really hard playing a multiplayer game with no run button these days. You're so used to having some sort of sprint.
Okay.
And it just seems so, like, I kept crouching because, like, my guy's going, you know, so slow. It seems so slow is basically what I'm taking away from it. I mean, it looks great. The game looks great and it sounds really good. The explosions look good. They've done a nice job remastering it. But when you're used to that sprint button, like, what multiplayer shooter do you play now that doesn't have a sprint button? Can you think of one? That's come out in the last few years. It's hard to think of one. So you keep looking for it the whole time. Like, really? There's no sprint? I felt like there was a sprint in this game. But yeah, it was fun. We played, what's the level, the Halo 2 level with the sniper, little sniper overlook over the dome thingy with the big dome?
Oh, sniper dome.
Sniper dome. Yeah, we played sniper dome. Overwatch? Overlook? Is that what it's called?
The Overlook Hotel?
Yes.
All Halo and no play makes GP a dull boy.
Right. You've always been the Master Chief, sir. But it's looking good. And they had some, if you see some pictures circulating on the internet, they had some technical problems there. That's why there were no lines for Halo for a while. Their router.
Someone's had to have done that, right? On some PC game, made like a Counter-Strike or something that takes place in the Overlook Hotel. No. That has to exist,
no,
right?
No, it doesn't. I would know. I would definitely know.
How is that possible? Because it's just it's a big space with halls and there's a ballroom. Like it's a good idea. Be perfect. It is a good idea.
Kickstarter, start writing together a game design doc.
A first-person multiplayer shooter that takes place in the Overlook Hotel?
Could be good. With it. Are you yeah, sure.
Mm, sure. And everyone has an axe?
I think you might be onto something. Halo, I feel like they'll have no problem selling. I feel when they see, there's just so much content in that game. When you see, like, you know, how nice it looks, yeah, everyone just going to be like, yeah, I just buy this fucker. There's also a new Earth Defense Force game, which I forgot what the title was, but they've added in, you know, kaiju and giant robots like Pacific Rim. So that seems like a good addition to the series. I watched some guy play it because I didn't want to wait in line. It reminded me a lot of Rad from PS2, which is a good thing. So the only problem is, you know, it's going to be janky as fuck because it's Earth Defense Force.
It's part of the charm.
But it looked, I got to admit, it looked pretty solid. I mean, you know, at least it looked sharp. I'm sure there'll be some interesting clipping issues. But hey, giant robots fighting giant monsters, knocking down buildings. That's, can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. Frank Corchesney wrote in and asked, how is Bloodborne? Is it true there is no character class and customization, so it's not a real soul game? I stood behind somebody and watched them play it. It looks like Dark Souls, but in Victorian England. So I don't know. That's what it is. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it is. So it's probably not for me. Unless they made it easier. Did they make it easier? Do you know? No. So that was TGS. I mean, that's, I, you know.
You just talked about it for 45 minutes, not, so, not you know. Really. That's something.
Not really, but okay. Yeah. Should we talk about new releases?
Yes. I've been playing some Fairy Fencer F for PlayStation 3.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
Me neither.
It's from Japan, if you could guess that.
I did guess that.
Okay. It's a turn-based Japanese RPG. A lot of the Final Fantasy and Hyperdimension Neptunia people work on it. It's what it is. If you're thinking about buying a game called Fairy Fencer F.
Yes.
Yep.
Here it is.
This is exactly it. This is the triple F you're looking for.
You could never convince anybody to buy that game who didn't already know what it was, probably, or who would never even consider it. Like, there's no way you could change somebody's opinion.
So far, I will say there's not a lot of, like, overly sexualized 13-year-old girls in it.
Not a lot.
Not a lot. I've only played maybe about an hour of it. But there is a young fairy, but I don't find her to be hypersexualized. Like, it's not creepy.
Good.
Yeah. So, Fairy Fencer F, everybody.
Excellent. That's on PS3.
That's on PS3. There's going to be a lot of, it seems like they'll be putting out those Japanese RPGs for a while on PlayStation 3.
It's what they do.
Right. On PS2 Classic, it looks like Disney's Meet the Robinson came out on PSN.
Just what we needed. I'm sure that price of $9.99 is a real bargain too. How much could that game cost used?
99 cents.
Seriously.
Yeah. Let's see here. What else coming out? We played some, I think Wombat did. You played some Kickbeat
Special Edition? I did play a little bit of, like a very little bit of Kickbeat, but I did play it. That game is, you know, it's a good rhythm game. It's a rhythm fighting game where you play as a kung fu guy and you stand basically in the middle of the screen. And as enemies come at you, you have to push one of the face buttons in rhythm to kick or punch, but mostly kick, hence the name Kickbeat.
Mostly kick.
It's good.
Damn, if it was mostly punching, I'd be on board, but.
If it was punch beat, but yeah, no, it's mostly kick.
Yeah, I got a thing with feet, so.
I even have a code for the game for the Xbox One. And if you post a comment in the show thread, just some positive feedback, could be negative, but constructive feedback regarding this week's episode, and specify that you're interested in a copy, you're entered into the drawing to get the game.
That was a lot of legal speak there.
Right.
I know.
You must be over 80 years old.
Right.
You must be over 80 years old and a resident of Arkansas.
What else? Fibbage is out.
I like that Kickbeat game, though. Like,
yeah,
it's cute.
Yeah, it's there's some licensed music in it. I was having a hard time hearing a lot of the music because my wife and my sister-in-law decided they were going to dance around the kitchen to What Does a Fox Say with my daughter while I was trying to play a rhythm game.
Honey, I'm working in here.
Right.
I've
got Marilyn Manson playing in here in this Kickbeat game, and you're dancing around in the other room to What Does the Fox Say?
Right.
But yeah. That's it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that song's in this game or not.
Fibbage came out for everything that's not Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's good. I recommend that. Very fun like party game.
Mm-hmm.
Balderdash. It's Balderdash. If you don't know what that is, look it up.
Yep. And Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call, another rhythm game, came out for 3DS. And for PC, I picked up Roundabout, which just came out today. So I'm excited about that. We played that at E3. That's the rotating limousine driving puzzle action game with FMV cutscenes.
Right. Yep,
and that's coming to consoles at some point too, isn't it?
I think next year. I think early next year. So it's a while until it hits the consoles. But yeah, I'm excited to play that. And also on Xbox One, D4 came out. The first episode, I guess, like out of nowhere.
Yes, I saw it. You know what? They had it on the show floor at TGS.
I like those games, so I'm excited for this.
What's D4?
It's a Kinect game.
D4? It's all Kinect?
I saw a guy playing it, and he was sitting on a couch, and he was, I don't know, he was like moving his hand to open up drawers.
Oh, okay. I think I know what that game is.
I think.
It's the D series. It's from the same guy who did Deadly Premonition and everything.
Sweary 65.
That's the dude. I did not realize it was all Kinect.
I think I'm pretty sure. The guy was doing it was in the Kinect area of the show floor, so yeah.
There was a Kinect area?
Well, they have to, you know, they have to block it off into little booths because of Kinect. So yeah, there was a bunch. They had Kinect Sport Rivals, they had the D4, they had Dance Central, and they had, I don't know, well, you know, there's not that many Kinect games to choose from, so
I'll give it a go. I'm still excited to try it.
They had Mighty No. 9 on the show floor too. Forgot to mention that, but there's some people online to play it too. What else? Anything else this week? Ooh, look at all these PC releases. Jesus. Yikes.
Put out a lot of games on that PC.
They do. Oh my. Oh my. That's it, I guess, huh?
Shadowrun Dragonfall, Director's Cut.
What's that?
It's a thing. I don't know. It's out. It's got a lot of words in it that sound like it should be exciting.
Like it's worth your time?
Right. Shadowrun Dragonfall sounds like something, Director's Cut even, sounds like something that people should be into.
Oh, what else we got here? Are we on to, so Microsoft bought Mojang.
Yes. Oh, we're up to news and things.
Yes, news and stuff and whatever we call this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the rumor was true, and the price was low though. It was $2.5 billion, excuse me. But not the you know, Notch and I guess the other founders are not going to be staying along. And Pinball RJ writes in from Twitter and asks, "Is Mojang the next Rare?"
Well, this is my question. What games not that Minecraft isn't a beast, but what other games, like, has Mojang made?
Nothing, I don't think. I think they have something in development, right?
I don't know. Cobalt?
Scrolls? Weren't they doing Scrolls and they got sued by...
Scrolls, yep, there it is, Scrolls.
But does it even matter?
Well, you know, the question is, are they the next Rare? Rare had a library of games.
Yeah, but none of them prior. None of them combined were up to Minecraft.
Well, but we never saw what else Mojang could do other than Minecraft.
I don't think it matters. Does it matter? Don't they sell do they sell like Minecraft, like Legos and shit?
Yep.
They sell Minecraft everything. No, it's definitely worth having Minecraft, but, you know, the question is Mojang the next Rare? And who knows, because we don't know what Mojang would have made without Microsoft. At least with Rare, there's some sort of, well, they made this and they made this and they made this.
Yeah,
and it's too different. Microsoft, I'm sure like part of this deal was Microsoft wanted Minecraft, and I'm guessing Notch and the higher ups at Mojang. I don't even know how, is that how you pronounce this company?
It is now.
Sure. Mojang, they wanted those people to still have jobs, so
right,
it made sense to sell the studio along with Minecraft.
Did you read his note on the sale that he wrote up?
I know he's leaving the business essentially.
No, he just said that he was tired of dealing with Minecraft and. People would harass him on Twitter when like some stupid thing with Minecraft would happen that he had nothing to do with, and just he was tired of it. And he was tired of, I think he just tired of Minecraft.
Well, now he has $1 billion to, you know, bum around with. I'd like $1 billion.
$2.5 billion. How many founders were there?
Well, doesn't he get the lion's share of it, though?
I'm sure he's got more than a billion.
I don't think it's... Yeah.
Sure, well,
the number I saw briefly was that he alone gets $1.4 billion.
Yeah, that sounds
good. I don't know how true or false that is, but
does
I'll take
matter?
That with a... Yeah.
Does it really matter if he had $1.5 billion or $150 million? Like, really?
At that point, you know, there's really only one way to find out. Someone give me $1.5 billion and someone send Cheapy $150 million.
Right.
And him and I will hang out and try to figure out if we could feel any different.
This sounds like a great reality show. Who wants to fund this?
Someone really needs to get on that.
Let's see. What else we got here? Oh, Havoc37 writes in and says, after spending more time with the game, what are your guys' opinions on Destiny now? So Wombat didn't really get to talk about Destiny since the game actually came out because he was on vacation, but now you're level...
12?
Oh, you've 12? Passed me already.
I've put in about 6 hours. So, and? I mean, I kind of like it.
Right.
I know it's not I don't know if it's is or isn't the popular opinion. It's very split.
But that's pretty much the median opinion, is that like, yeah, I kind of like, if you look at the Metacritic score, that's like the Metacritic score for I kind of like it, isn't it?
I think it's lower. 75? I think that's lower than I kind of like it.
Oh, it is?
I think 8 is kind of like it.
8 is kind of like it? Hmm.
Between 8 and 8.5 is kind of like it.
Well, it's a 77.
An 8 or an 8.5, that's a good game.
I really like it. That's I really like it.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe I'd
I'm
say...
maybe I'm just a harsher critic than you guys are.
No, because you like this game, so you're not.
Yeah, but I get that's just it. I do. You know, there are certain things about this game that I really like. I really like the character design. Like, I think the characters in the game look really cool.
I agree. The artwork is very nice.
Yep. I think the way that the game handles, you know, running the shooting of people, I think is really good, really well done.
Yes.
I think the melee is the best melee in a first-person shooter I've ever played, personally.
It's fun when a guy goes flying through the air.
It's fun when a guy goes flying. It's really satisfying when you hear that thunk every time you stab someone in the throat. Thwonk. Like, yeah. Take that, whatever.
What class are you? I don't have that.
I'm a hunter.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, I have a knife and I stab people in the throat. Mm. It's pretty cool. And the guns all feel unique and different that I've picked up so far. So, you know, there's a lot of good there. I think the game at its core is a very good game. Sometimes you play a game that's not particularly very good, and you're like, well, if the game had done this instead of this, then it probably could have been a really good game. This game has that great game in there already. I think that it would only take like a couple of subtle changes to make it go from a
you're
really
crazy.
Good game that's in there already to a great game. I know you think I'm crazy. This is my turn to talk about it. You had your time. I get it, and I understand that now, you know, Bungie really wants this to be a multiplayer game. They really don't want people playing this alone. They don't. Because if they did, then they made a mistake somewhere. But if the goal was always to have this be a multiplayer game, that whenever you play a story mission, you need to have 3 people, then they succeeded at that. I think the game would be better served.
Where's the story?
If you didn't need it. I don't think that's the problem. The problem isn't the lack of story. The problem is that there is the lack of distractions from the lack of story. I think Skyrim has a pretty terrible story too.
No. Skyrim, we've had this argument on Instant Messenger already. Skyrim has a story, though. It doesn't matter if it's terrible or not, which I don't think it's terrible. And it's got multiple stories. It's got, you probably have maybe 10 games worth of stories within Skyrim.
But the best story is the story that you create of your own character. And if all that other stuff was stripped away, I would probably still like Skyrim just as much. I think the same thing could be said about Borderlands. I don't think Borderlands has a particularly engaging story either.
You're crazy.
And the quests are essentially the same. Go here, shoot that. No. Go here, shoot that.
No.
I think that the way that Borderlands sets up its world is much better.
The mission structure, I don't think Borderlands is anything like Destiny. I'm not saying it is. Go to the end of a level, get out your little hack and bot, and shoot three waves of enemies, and then you're transported back out of that level.
And that's the problem. And I agree with you. That's the problem of Destiny. The problem with Destiny, and it's not the robot scans and you shoot waves of enemies. It's the once you do that, it's the transporting into a mission and the transporting out. In a game that has the patrol missions, which take place in the same environment but are open world. The fact that you can't, like Borderlands, be in that open world, go up to where the mission starts, whether it be talking to someone or hitting the right pole, hitting X at the right pole, and just start that mission, that's the problem.
You just described five problems.
Well, no, it's one problem. That's one problem. But again, it's not that the game isn't there. I'm not saying change the way the missions are. I'm not saying change the missions. I'm just saying change how you activate those missions.
It's the same mission every time.
You could say that about many games. A lot of games are like that. Go here, get this. That's half of Skyrim. More.
But at least there's like the pretext of story that you could actually follow something that's going on as opposed to made up words. And
I think one of the problems is that, you know, the quote unquote story elements on those cards that you pick up are only viewable from the app and should either be available to read, like the app, the cards should be either viewable from your inventory screen in the game or in the tower, which is mostly useless. The load times in this game are way too long. It completely takes you out. And that's all. That's again, goes back to the problem with the story missions. I just finished this story mission, but instead of, you know, it ending and me being able to go right to another patrol mission or another story mission, it boots me out to a menu screen, which then boots me out to my spaceship hovering above the planet.
I
want to go back down to that same planet, we're taking 10, 15 minutes between stories when in another game with a similar structure, it would be seamless. The problem is there's the seams. There's too many seams that you can see. It's not even so. You want to complain about the story? That's fine. I honestly think it's bullshit for people who don't understand what's wrong with the game. It's not the story.
No,
you think it's the story.
It's
because it's not just the story.
It's what you're talking about. It's what you're talking about as well as there not being story.
If everything that I was talking about was in the game, you wouldn't care. Yeah. You wouldn't notice. Yeah. You would not care.
I agree.
Because the gameplay is there. When you play that game...
I don't think it is.
He's talking about the core shooting elements and like the jetpack and just the way that the shooting feels, right, Wombat?
Yeah.
You're not talking about anything really beyond that, right?
No, I'm not talking about anything beyond that.
The enemy AI isn't good. The bosses are nothing but bullet sponges.
Well, that
go
on
way too long.
The loot is not good.
Yep. Like the way the loot is not good.
But these are also things like everything that you just said is totally patchable.
I don't need a game to be patched. I need a game that I buy to be good.
I know, and I agree, but these are the problems with the game. But everything you just said isn't story.
No, I'm not saying it's just one thing. That's not my... I think this game has problems.
I think there are patchable problems with this game that can be fixed, and the story is the last thing on the list.
I agree.
But it's what everyone's focusing on, and it's a mistake, and it's stupid, to put simply. The problem is exactly like you said. They need to up the quality and the frequency of the loot. They need to get rid of the bullet sponge bosses. They need to either add in a casual difficulty and let me choose if I wanted to play a story mission by myself or have enemy scale depending upon how many people are actually playing that mission.
Right, but the whole structure is like broken because like why would I need to go back to the tower?
Exactly.
It's just more loading.
Because that's where your loot is at.
It's the more loading and more loading. It's,
right, but
it's,
why?
It should be.
Don't they focus?
It should be
this?
I land. If for some reason I leave the moon and want to come back, I should have the option of going onto patrol and being able to start my story missions from there, which gives a reason to have your speeder bike. Like, say I just wanted to patrol around a little bit. Then after 5 minutes, I decide I want to start a mission on the other side of the map. I can either pull out my speeder bike and go there, or then I can open the map and fast travel the way the map is set up now. But the load times are so long, I'd rather be in the open world than just zoom.
The open world isn't
that
interesting,
that would probably
though.
Be faster.
It's not much of a world.
It's not. It's a place where
it's a map.
Enemies randomly generate on my way to a mission. It's not a good open world.
It's a big map.
Yeah.
It's not a world.
It's a big map.
It looks like a world. There's the illusion of the world because the back, you know, the graphics are obviously very nice and
the game is so nice looking.
And the art is great too. And that's that gives the illusion, you know, the space junk and all
Mass Effect quality.
Yeah, but you just can't get there.
It has that, I don't think it's a secret. It's that Ralph McQuarrie art style that's like the best for science fiction.
Yeah, and then you're like trying to explore and you want to say, oh, look at that over there. Let me just jump over there and get there. And then that's like an invisible wall and you're dead.
Yeah, which is, you know, I was playing a story with a couple of other people of some other CAGs. And we're on the moon and there's caves everywhere. And you go into a cave and there's nothing.
Nothing. It makes you not want to ever check anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not saying the game is perfect. I'm just saying the problems with this game are not the story. It's those little things. If you're going to have a cave, there should be something in it. There should either be a chest in the cave.
Picture.
I should either be able to, or someone that I shoot and drop something that I wouldn't get if I didn't go into the cave. But if you're going to have a cave every 10 feet, have a reason for having these caves.
The crazy thing is they go for the detail of, you know, when you go into these caves and you're talking with your friends, you get the echo in the headset, right? That makes it sound like you're really in a cave. They go to that detail, but yet don't put anything in the cave.
Exactly.
It's just really weird.
It is. It's definitely really weird. But the game itself, and Cheapy, we played together and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Co-op is fun. That's why it's fun.
Co-op in general is fun.
Yes.
Co-op in general is fun. But this game plays very well. There's nothing broken about the gameplay.
I think that
sometimes is the hardest thing to get right.
Unfortunately, I think that the changes that need to be made are so severe that there's no way you'll see them until Destiny 2.
I would be happy with a couple of small changes. The frequency of loot drops, I think, is something that could be done. I think that making it scalable if you really wanted to play by yourself is something that could be done. Those are the two things I'd like to see. I know there's a lot more bigger problems, but for me to like just want to sit down and play the game on a Tuesday night, those would be the two things that would make me go to play that game first.
But what about exploration? Because that, you know, well, you talked about the empty caves. It's fun to walk around and look for loot, right? With your friends.
Well, that's what I mean, the frequency of loot.
It just seems like they give you no... There's really so limited exploration in a game that bills itself as an open world just waiting to be explored.
Where is that hole that woman jumps into in the commercial?
I think I jumped into it and died right away.
Okay, that's where it is. Exactly. Exactly.
Because I drove my speeder bike too fast, and I just went, oh, that's not, there's nothing there.
I hate when she does that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
So, but no, I personally think it's a lot of fun. I am enjoying the game, and I am going to continue playing it. If we weren't doing this, I'd be playing it right now. It is a good game. It's not a, I don't think it's as bad as Shipwreck thinks it is, but you know, I don't think he's wrong either.
I've stopped playing it.
Yeah, you just stopped completely. You're done.
It doesn't have split screen, so I can't play it with my wife. So Diablo's right there. Diablo's pretty fun.
Exactly. It doesn't have the hooks that Diablo has, which is kind of a bummer. Because it should have the hooks of a Diablo, which would be first-person Diablo in space, I think is probably what we all wanted. But, you know, one of the things that Diablo...
Monster Hunter and Phantasy Star Online. They've tricked the Westerners into playing those games.
You know...
No, but Monster Hunter is much better, I think.
If it wasn't for those loading times and those breaks between missions that are unnecessary,
How do they not pick that shit up? Like, we've heard about the budget. How do they not focus test that? And like on the day one, when the first kid who plays the game, hey, how come I have to go to the tower after every mission for an extra for two extra loading screens to get my loot?
For 3 seconds.
They were probably too busy looking at their app.
Yeah.
That's why they made the whole app to get, so you don't have to look at loading screens.
Something to do while you're looking at loading screens, which is something I actually did start doing. I'm like, well, I might as well check out what's going on the Twitter and stuff. Well, because it's dumb.
It's avoidable. Why make it that way?
Or cut out the loading screens. You don't notice it in Diablo. In Diablo, you need to go back into town and either sell your stuff or dismantle your stuff. But there's no loading times in that game on the Xbox One.
It's really fast.
None. It's crazy how fast the loading is. It's like 3 seconds. So you don't notice it. You don't care.
Yep.
If it was 3 seconds, you wouldn't notice.
No,
you wouldn't care.
No, right.
But the fact that you have to sit there and watch that spaceship hover for 5 seconds because it has a countdown for reasons I don't understand, and then the spaceship moves, and then you have to watch the spaceship go through the tunnel. It's like 30, 45 seconds, a minute. It's too long. And it really it's a real problem. That's a real problem. Lack of story is not a real problem.
Right. In a video
that's
game.
That's the only reason I have that ship, too, is so I can load.
Yeah. It's something to look at during your load.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's like, well, why do I need the spaceship? What
and
is
maybe
the
they'll
point?
Sell you a better one with
that
real does, money.
That's nothing but cosmetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So, I don't know. Like I said, I do enjoy playing the game. That's probably the worst part. That's the salt in the wound, is that I really enjoy playing this game. I want to play more. I want to see what happens when you hit level 20 and are able to get like the really cool stuff.
You just get new stuff.
I want the cool stuff.
Okay.
I want to be a pretty, pretty princess. So I want to see what I want to get there. And I'm in there. I'm involved enough. I'm hooked in enough where I want to see these things, but those problems are just there. They are inexcusable. They are inexcusable problems in any game made post 2010.
Forget about one that cost $500 million.
Exactly. Not even. We're not talking about. I'm talking about any game. This game is inexcusable. The game that this reminds me of the most is probably the first Fable. Which also had really long loading times, but also the game that we thought we were getting and the game we got were just so different.
Oh, right, true. Huh. When we played the beta, I was like, I remember thinking that it was weird that you have to go back to like the tower and everything to get your loot. I was surprised to see that the final game was exactly like the beta, that we had played basically the final game.
Yeah, or that, you know, I'm willing to excuse long loading times in a beta because it's the beta.
Yeah, I didn't, but even I'm talking about the structure, I have to go through these loading times and, you know, travel to pick up my loot, then travel back to my next mission. Yeah. Seems weird.
If they cut the loading times out, you probably wouldn't care.
No, of course not.
Exactly. Like if it was just instant, I'm on the Earth, now I'm back at the tower, now I'm back on Earth, now I'm going to the moon, and boom, bing, bang, boom, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't. But
could
the
they,
fact that
could
it
they
takes...
at least make somebody on the tower interesting?
Yeah, that's it too. Or why does the tower need to be the size the tower is when there's only 4 people to talk to or 6 people to talk to?
And they make you walk from, you know, unnecessarily far. Like, why would you put that guy so far when you
far
know?
Away?
Oh, this
well, what is the point of
that?
This?
I had to go around the corner, then up the stairs, not walk in that direction and run into a wall.
Like, no,
it's
map.
Not this. This isn't the Citadel from Mass Effect, where there's, you know, things to do. And even the Citadel improved.
I have no favorite
shop
in the tower.
I hate
all of them.
Right. Exactly. It just. Yeah. There's a lot of problems with Destiny. A lot of problems
there
that
it is.
Are fixable.
You added an S to the end. You've done it.
Problems. I said there were problems. I just don't think the problem is story. Right. I think if they had fixed, if everything else was fixed that I just said,
right,
that game would be getting 8.5s to 9s across the board.
What you're saying is even if the story was amazing, it had like a great story, and or not, let's say it had a great story, but the everything else was exactly the same, it really wouldn't change how you felt about the game much.
It wouldn't change how anyone feels about the game. Yeah. Shipwreck's opinion wouldn't change at all.
I disagree a little bit there, but...
A little bit.
Maybe a little.
He'd like it a little bit more. Okay. Maybe he'd be a little more...
It gives you some investment in it. Like, right now, I have no investment in this game.
Like, you'd want to find out what happens to Dinklebot a little bit more.
Right.
Dinklebot. Is that the official? Is that what people
that's,
are calling
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's what people call it. Yeah, I didn't make that up.
Oh, okay. Just checking. I thought you were a genius.
Yeah, I'm not that clever. I'm not saying you're wrong that the story is shitty. It is. I just don't think that's the problem.
I understand.
I'm glad fair. You're enjoying it.
And exactly. I wish I was enjoying it.
I'm going to wait to see if they make any changes. And play the I like the PvP. I still like that. It just reminds me of Halo, but you know.
The thing button. Is, for first of all, Chibi, you and I can always play together. We had fun.
We'll always be together.
Exactly. Together. I went on their Facebook page because I was curious to see how if people, you know, people like to be angry on Facebook.
Sure.
People are really positive about the game on Facebook. Which kind of makes me nervous that they're not going to fix anything. Exactly.
I think what's going to happen is the people that are going to be vocal as this goes on are going to be the people who are positive about the game, and the rest of us are just going to move on to something else.
Oh, well, that's the other thing also. I mean, well, they'll obviously notice the drop in numbers of people playing. If it does drop like a stone, they may have to think, well, how do we get people back in? Especially if they want to sell more content and make this a 10-year plan.
Also, they want to prevent people from selling back their copies. So they probably would want to announce something like they're looking into the feedback. You don't have to announce anything concrete, but just say something like, oh, we've received a lot of feedback and we're looking into, you know, implementing some changes or something like that.
Here's Forza car.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, or, you know, the Diablo 3 that came out on PC is very different than the Diablo 3 that came out on consoles.
Not that different.
Different enough. The change in the loot system was enough to get people back into that game that didn't play it, that had stopped playing that game a year ago.
I think it feels like a really different game with the controller.
Well, and the controller makes it feel different, but the core game is the same.
Of course.
I think the core game for
house.
Yeah. It was a simple enough change that brought people in. I think the core game of Destiny. Yeah, I know. Took 2 years. It took you 2 years because they wouldn't do it until the console games came out. But yeah, I don't know. It's been done before. I think it could be done again. I don't know how long it would take. I don't think they need to do it all at once either. So maybe you start with increasing the loot, and then maybe a month later you find a way to cut those loading times down. Just, you know, maybe you do it in steps so that a year from now that game comes out with, you know, has a big sale on all the DLC and it's like, wow, this is a completely different game than that piece of shit I played last September.
You saw that 50% of UK Destiny sales were on Xbox One and Xbox 360, despite all the...
Does that mean 50% of sales were also on the PlayStation 4?
And PlayStation 3.
And PlayStation... So it's an even split.
It was an even split. Despite, you know, the fact that Sony heavily marketed the game, obviously had some marketing agreement with Activision. Well, I guess it would have been a much different split the other way, right?
Yeah, it would have been... Worse if they hadn't. It would have been a... Right.
Well, let's also remember, I mean, I don't know if they were doing this in the UK. Xbox was giving away a free game with every console purchased last week, the week that Destiny came out.
Yeah.
So people may have picked up an Xbox One with a free game. Yeah. True. the pseudo bundle.
That was a shrewd move on their part.
Yep.
Very smart. Good work. Good work, Microsoft.
Now they're making
like
more moves.
That free astronaut ice cream that you got when you bought it at Target.
It was exactly. You could have gotten the Xbox One, Destiny, and free astronaut ice cream. I think that's, plus if you had a Target card, 5% off. That actually is a really good deal.
Except you have astronaut ice cream. What are you going to do with that?
I don't know. Give it to the neighborhood children.
I don't know about that. What else we got here? Anything else? That was the end. Yeah, we didn't really have much CAG bag. I put it all in. It was all TGS stuff.
Okay.
Oh, somebody wanted to know about the... where did I put one of these things in there? Oh, yeah. Cursor TN wrote in. Someone else did as well. About the indie situation at TGS. There was an indie booth there, and it was Sony brought it. It seemed to be aligned with Sony. They had
makes sense.
They had a lot of. There were a lot of games I never heard of. I think they were mostly Western games. I'm not 100% sure because I didn't actually spend a lot of time there. But it seemed like mostly Western games. But they were there, and Sony brought them. There was a
Nick
separate
Sutner
indie
brought them.
Nick Sutner, I saw Nick Sutner yesterday.
He brought them all
and
there.
His beard. He brought them, and I believe there's a separate indie event tonight, Saturday night somewhere that Sony is also probably has something to do with. So that's the TGS report.
Speaking of Tennessee, my friend Jason Isbell, he cleaned up on the Americana Awards last night. I was pretty happy about that.
How many did he win?
He won Song of the Year, Artist of the Year, and Album of the Year.
Cool. Nice.
Those are the three big ones.
He must be feeling very American right now.
He is the Americanist of them all.
Yes. Excellent.
Yeah.
His cover of Born to Run is pretty good.
It is.
Not Born to Run, Born in the USA. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You knew what I meant.
I did.
Nice. Speaking of Born in the USA, I'm moving back to the USA.
Whoa.
At the end of this year. Big
what?
Game show.
What? I had no idea. This is right. Shocking.
This is my last Tokyo Game Show for probably a while.
He heard about Newport, Connecticut, or Rhode Island.
I heard that.
I was going to say, you know what? If you and your wife are looking for a weekend getaway once you're back.
Lobster roll.
You would feel so just when you get sit down in that Adirondack chair looking over the water and there are just sailboats going by and someone hands you a large amount of lobster and a glass of white wine. If you don't instantly feel relaxed, then I don't know you.
No, we're looking forward to those types of road trips. We're moving back to New York City probably late November or early December. And mostly for my, my sanity, my wife's work, to be close to my family, and also
and me,
and to be close to Wombat mostly, and to be more involved in CAG and stuff like that. So we shall see how that goes. If it sucks, we will move somewhere else. So you better be on your best behavior, New York. Don't fuck it up, or we're out of there. So I'll see you guys soon. At least Wombat. Shipwreck, who knows?
That gives me a reason to go to New York now.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's like he could come to New York and the three of us could hang out. It'd
Pez.
Be fun.
Pez.
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 We'll if you come to New York, the three of us, we can go to the Pez factory.
I'm looking forward to buying a television. An American price television.
There you go.
That's like my dream. Because it was my nightmare buying the Japanese price television.
Wombat, are you disappointed that you didn't go visit Cheapy while he was in Tokyo, though?
All my friends who didn't feel like they wanted to come visit, you blew it.
It's okay. I'll survive.
Not many came. A few did, but...
I had children too fast.
That's
You have to remember, yes. Cheapy moved to Tokyo, and Sabrina was born within that year, I feel like. So, because Sabrina and Ty aren't that far apart in age.
No.
Mm-mm.
Well,
how did Ty take the news?
Ty loves America. Okay. So Ty's pretty excited about it. I'm assuming that he understands that he understands the whole concept He understands that he'll miss his friends, but he also understands that he'll be a lot closer to grandma and grandpa.
Doesn't have to take care of that plant.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, and he won't have to carry the giant knapsack, and he doesn't have to eat all his vegetables anymore at lunch. Like, he's pretty smart.
He's going to get all the ladies.
I don't know. He gets all the ladies here already. So if I think if he comes back here, he can get all the ladies here.
But, Sabrina's knapsack is pretty large, by the way. I don't know if the giant knapsack thing is really going to go away.
The knapsack itself probably weighs, just an empty knapsack, probably weighs more than Sabrina's knapsack with the books in it.
It's possible.
It's made out of leather.
Oh, no. Sabrina's is Sabrina's has the characters from Frozen on it.
Yes. These things are ridiculous. I weighed it once. It weighed like 13 pounds or something like that with the books in it. So that's a bowling ball. That's a heavy bowling. That's a bowling ball that's too heavy for me. I throw an 11 heavy. Pound.
That's too heavy for a 7-year-old.
Right, six-year-old.
Well, he'll be seven like three yes. weeks, right?
He'll be seven in October. So we have to find an apartment, and it's going to be annoying, and we have to find a good public school and all that shit. But yeah, there it is. There's the news. So if anybody, yeah, nothing. I don't need anything from anybody. I'm good.
You don't need it.
No.
Well, it'll be fun. We'll see you. We'll be in the same time zone.
Right. If anybody wants to sell me a car, you can sell me a car.
We can get lunch.
I was thinking about that. Are you going to get some exotic car now?
No. What are you doing with an exotic car? And what's an exotic car, really?
Not in Manhattan. In Manhattan, you just want something.
I thought you might just get a, like, I don't know.
No.
A fun play car.
I will get a fun car that is not exotic. There's plenty of cars. You can get like a fun, like a Lexus ISF is a good example of that.
Like, you know what? I should hook you up with. I Cadillac. Have a friend that I can. I have a friend I could hook you up with who can help you get a fun car. That too. No, a fun. Oh. A fun car like the kind you're talking about. He's big on buying cars.
Like the new Cadillacs.
I've got an 81.
Sports sedans. No. The new sports sedan Cadillacs seem to be pretty good, and they make good noises. But nothing.
My 81 makes all kinds of good noises.
I bet it does.
It has a V8
fart noises.
It's a V8. No, is it a
V10?
I think it's a... No, it's a V8. It's a V8. V8 / V6.
Right, yes. Right. Well, the Lexus ISF is a V8. It's a pretty ridiculous car, but when you look at it, it just looks pretty much like a regular, like... low-end Lexus, and I like cars like that, where that only people who know anything about cars would know that particular car is fast or good or any of those things. I don't like the cars where people look at it and say, that guy's a douchebag. You know what I mean, Wombat?
I do.
I don't want
to. That's why I drive a Ford Fiesta.
Nobody looks at that car and says, that guy's a douchebag.
Nope.
They may say a lot of other things, but they're not going to probably say that.
And then but you would have to sit in the car and see the leather seats, the leather heated seats and the sunroof.
Luxury.
And the lights that change color on the interior. So there's, it's very comfortable in that car. But yes, from the outside, it looks like nothing.
Right.
So I do actually understand what you're saying quite a bit.
Yeah, good. Thank you. We're on the same page finally.
We are.
All right, so I think that's it. On that bombshell, we will say goodbye and see you next week.
Red Sun.